Today's session is the first of three variations on a theme of exploring this relationship between the idea of vertical density and sustainability, sustainable urbanism. The second of our events is going to be today is called Learning from Hong Kong. Tomorrow is Debating Density, and on Saturday, we're looking with a series of architects and academics at the idea of designing density and the debate between theory and practice. So we also have some practitioners to talk about some of the designs that they've implemented in central Hong Kong. So across these three themes, we're going to be exploring the idea of the relationship between Hong Kong and New York, and especially, of course, Manhattan and Hong Kong, as being the exemplary sister cities of vertical urbanism. We want to also explore the connection between sustainable design in cities of high-density living and business, and how that can contribute to an environmental and a public space and quality of life urbanism that might be somewhat contrary to the way that we usually think about density as a negative term. So those are some of the background questions that we intend to explore. So having thanked J.P. Morgan Chase and alerted you to the reception that's at the museum, I want also to emphasize that we're here this afternoon with the generous support of the MTR from Hong Kong, and we'll meet one of the executives there as our speaker, Thomas Ho, with also the support of Hong Kong Land, one of the key developers in Hong Kong, and also with Cohn Pedersen Fox, the architects. It's really KPF that launched this idea of connecting Hong Kong to New York for me, because finding some way to enter the culture of the city, the development culture of the city, is very difficult. And I have to, because Jean Cohen is here and Paul Katz will be one of our speakers, I have to praise them in this particular moment of New York's economic history for what they did about 10 or 15 years ago when they turned their attention to Asia as in a kind of counter-cyclical way to think about how the skyscraper it can be embraced in the Asian context. So that's one of the things we're going to be exploring today. And if it hadn't been for Paul introducing me to Nicholas Brook, who's also here today and will be the lead speaker in tomorrow afternoon's talk, if it hadn't been for their connections to the whole cast of characters of the development and architectural world in Hong Kong, there would have been no exhibition and connections for me to explore in the exhibition. So I'm very grateful to them for making this cultural and urban connection that made today possible. So let me go to my slide to give a quick overview via this PowerPoint of the idea of vertical density. And is it working? There we go. And to familiarize a little bit this idea for you with a series of slides that make the visual connection between Hong Kong and New York. More than any two places in the world, Hong Kong and Manhattan seem similar. Hong Kong embraced the skyscraper that New York invented along with Chicago in the late 19th century and through the early 20th century, only really after about the late 1970s. And it's in the last three decades or so that Hong Kong has grown up to be Asia's Manhattan, we might call it. The connections between their intensive use of land to develop for business as well as for residents is very clearly illustrated in the fabulous panoramas of the harbor and the hillsides, and the incredible concentration and vitality of the business communities and the competition for space between these two cities is very clearly illustrated in slides like these. But this idea of global cities and the success of global cities is, of course, a topic that has, over the last couple of decades, emerged and was, I think, nicely encapsulated back last January in this in the Asia Time edition on the cover of Time magazine, where the three successful cities as financial global capitals, New York, London, and Hong Kong, have become allied in a kind of trio of global financial centers. And the article looked at why this was true, and the reasons went well beyond the economies of those various places to the qualities of the cities. The qualities of the cities in terms of business, as economic venues, looking at architecture, too, in the way that it creates the built environment, the relationship to the nature space of the harbor in both cases with Hong Kong and Manhattan. There are similarities in terms of the land management that allows for this kind of intensive development. Now, I'll go very briefly through this little didactic section on vertical density, but if we explore how these cityscapes are different from London to New York to Hong Kong, we take this sort of overview, a kind of aerial view of the landscape, and overlay that the density of the area of the city proper, the population, and therefore the density, the average density. And you see that London's density is rather low, but you can see that very clearly by looking at the aerial view. You can also see then that other cities where the density is phenomenally higher statistically than in London or even in Hong Kong, like Mumbai here, one of the densest cities in the world, and 21,000, or Cairo, which is the densest city, 37,000 people per square kilometer we're gauging here, have a very different urban character than Hong Kong or New York. So that this kind of, the density of Mumbai or Cairo is a horizontal density of congestion, of low-rise buildings, and often correlated with poverty. The vertical density of New York and of Hong Kong is a density of affluence if we look at it in center city. And I think it's worth exploring this idea then of the relationship of the affluence and the visible evidence of the high-rise city. Now, Hong Kong's average density, if you average it over the entire special administrative region, the SAR, is only about 6,300 people per square kilometer. But if you take just the built area, which is less than a quarter of the overall land of Hong Kong, the density is about 70,000, translated into square miles, 70,000 per square mile, which is the same density as Manhattan. So there seems to be a very real relationship in the way that these cities have evolved and in the way that they compete or they compare. This current show and this conference is in the context of a three exhibition comparison that first looked at New York as the city of the future. It was called New York Modern. It was last year and it is followed by the vertical cities Hong Kong, New York. It will be then followed by another one called on Shanghai, which is called China Prophecy that you see in the slide. And the New York show focused on the invention of the skyscraper, the new technologies of transportation that invaded and developed the city in the early 20th century. And the first reaction to those ideas, which was just to see the city as something that was growing out of control, as you see in these slides. The second version, which is an architect-arranged rethinking of the future city that comes in after zoning is created, becomes a rationalized city of towers. And it's this theme of the city rationalized that we're going to explore in today's talks on transit-based development in Hong Kong. So that this 1929 view from the Regional Plan Association's study seems to suggest, similarly to Sue Ferris, seems to suggest a relationship that's actually finds built form in Hong Kong after from the 1970s and in the past three decades. We'll talk on Saturday about the elevated pedestrian bridges, but I think the comparison between visions of New York as the city of the future and the Hong Kong that did develop in the late 20th century is clear. More slides. And so we arrive here at the harbor reclamation that will be one of our topics for tomorrow, with the building that you see on the far right, the IFC2, the International Finance Center, which is created the 21st century center for the Hong Kong Island Central Business District. And we'll also be and is the iconic tower that marks the Hong Kong side of the island and is paired on the other side, on the Kowloon side, by the ICC, the International Commerce Center. Those two iconic towers are the visual culmination of a multi-level city of mixed use, of retail, of transportation, and an airport express that is the dream of every New Yorker. How many of you have been to Hong Kong? Quite a few. Some of you built Hong Kong, but the ones that other people will be new to this. But as you will learn from Thomas's presentation, when you fly into Hong Kong to the Norman Foster Airport, you get on the MTR's Airport Express, and 23 minutes later, in a single seat ride with carpets and video screens and completely quiet, you arrive in Central, and you come out, you roll your baggage out, and you see English signs that direct you to the hotel buses that are free and take you directly to your hotel. It's a seamless, for the first time only English-speaking visitor, it's an absolutely seamless ride. Likewise, when you go home, you can check your bags in Central, and they show up at JFK when you get back to New York, but you don't have to carry them through the airport. All of this has been rationalized in the creation of this rationalized city of towers. So it's that subject that we're going to explore this afternoon, and I will just very briefly introduce our co-sponsor for this afternoon's session, which is the Regional Plan Association, and Tom Wright, who is the executive director there, and he's going to then introduce the rest of our guests, and I'll introduce then Thomas Ho.